So your wife has been handling the Fugawi for a while and Holidays for Heroes. Like, what are all her different involvements?
She's been with Fugawi for, my gosh, 20-plus years now. She's currently the executive director for Fugawi. Her full-time role, her everyday job, is the executive director for Holidays for Heroes.
Okay. And how did you guys even meet?
So, a few years back, Holidays for Heroes took on a second charity organization at that time known as Service Dog for Heroes, eventually changed its name to what's now known as Sierra Delta. The two entities have now split off and become two separate organizations, but in starting that nonprofit, which is a nonprofit, to pair veterans with service dogs.
Okay.
Myself and two other veterans with service dogs were actually brought into that organization to meet up with PetSmart and Blue Buffalo Dog Food to actually do a campaign to launch, introduce Service Dogs for Heroes and to the public and start that campaign off.
Doesn't it take a while to train a service dog? It's a decent amount of money to do that.
Yeah, so on average, it's about a $30,000 dog. And
wow.
About two years of training.
Wow, so how many dogs do they try to assign to somebody a year? Because that's a lot. That's a lot of money.
It is. And, Sierra Delta's out there to try and raise money to help pay for these dogs that are going through the training and then marry them up with a vet. And, I think... I don't know the honest numbers. Just married into it.
Right.
So I wasn't a direct part of it as far as that kind of stuff goes. But the pairings that Sierra Delta is doing is phenomenal.
So what are some of the things that Holiday for Heroes does like throughout the year for the vets?
So we bring... they paired up with Fugawi, for one. Okay. So this weekend we have three vets and their spouses coming in and experiencing the Fugawi.
Yep.
And later on this year, late August, we'll have our Holidays for Heroes gala.
Okay.
And we'll bring in some vets for that, and that'll be spouses and kids. So the full family will come in and do a full week Nantucket experience.
Okay, so what are they gonna do?
they're gonna get a little escape from reality,
okay.
For about a week, and we're actually going through a whole revamping process right now, kind of change it to where before it was a good week break from reality on Nantucket experience, but we're looking to bring in some good advisors, good mentors.
Yeah.
To help talk to the vets and their family members so that once they complete that week here, they're not just going back saying, right back into reality,
right.
and the struggles that they were facing. They're actually going to go back in there with a little bit more tools in the toolbox, ready to kind of face life in a different way.
So how do you end up selecting the vets that like even come on the Fugawi?
A lot of it's just kind of through, veterans that I know or pairing up with other organizations and stuff to get some veterans that are wounded and when I say wounded, it's what they were really trying to put out there too is wounded doesn't just mean physical scars,
right.
That visible scars.
Right.
With everything going on right now, as we're starting to become a lot more aware of the internal damage
right.
that combat is doing to the veterans. So we're trying to put a little bit more emphasis on that and a little bit more recognition into that. So, like myself and Adam and Marcus that are in here this weekend for Figawi.
Did you guys serve together?
We didn't serve together. We just knew each other throughout our careers. But you know, Tim obviously is a physical, you know, with the being an amputee. But the other three of us, we suffer from, you know, traumatic brain injuries and PTS and, you know, some of the internal injuries that aren't, you know, visually out there.
Right.
So we're, again, kind of in that restructuring to where before it was a lot more focused on the visual, you know, injuries, as opposed to now we're kind of restructuring and say, well, wait a minute, you got a veteran who's damaged, you know, and just because they still have all their limbs intact doesn't mean that they don't rate, you know, the same experience, you know, and that they don't need help. So we're trying to expand it out and offer it up to the veteran community as a whole, male, female, alike. You know, if you're going through some things, that we'd love you to, you know, come be a part of the family.
What do you think are some of the ways that can really help them as far as therapeutic-wise? I mean, there's a lot of different programs and different nonprofits and different processes, but what do you think are some of the things that can really help?
One of it, I mean, for me, what I've experienced is, you know, I think the biggest therapy is communication.
Yeah.
You know, talking about what you're going through, what you went through, what you're going through,
right,
is the key to healing. You know, it's not necessarily medication unless it is a, you know, a chemical deficiency that a medication is prescribed to fix.
Right.
But you know, and there goes the difference between, you know, with the depression stuff. It's not a, figure out if it's a chemical or situational depression. And treat it as such, you know. So it's treat the wound for what it is, you know, and what the root cause is. Don't just do the blanket treatment. And so the ones that are facing or dealing with the PTS and, you know, or the depression and stuff like that, it's all about, you know, what I've experienced is the best healing process is communication. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable.
Right.
You know, just tell your story. Get it out.
You see, one of the things that's kind of my mission with the company is to employ vets to interview vets so they can get dual therapy out of them. Mm-hmm. And then other guys can listen to those stories and know that they're not alone in what they're thinking.
Oh, exactly. We're way more open to talk about, you know, what we've been through with other veterans that can relate, you
right.
know, than we are to the civilian, you know, that never served, who really wouldn't understand. You know, they would, I think, be sympathetic and try to relate to a point, but they never truly will understand
right.
What that veteran has been through, because, you know, unfortunately, war is something you cannot duplicate unless
right.
you've actually been there.
So how old were you when you went in?
When I first went in, I was 17 years old.
17.
Okay.
So how long did you serve total?
Total of 10 years in the military and another 4 years with the government clandestine services.
So what division were you in the military?
I was in special operations.
Special ops.
Yep.
That's probably the most intense situations, right?
A lot of people think that, and I think because of the movies and stuff that are out there, but you know, yes, the intensity was there, but, you know, my hat goes off to those infantry guys that were, you know, like those Marines that were in Fallujah, you know, that were just right there face-to-face just getting it done, you know. And, you know, to where the things that we do are, you know, a little bit more on the clandestine side and stuff, and they're a little bit more well-planned.
Right.
You know, and strategic strikes as opposed to just being a force multiplier.
Right.
You know, on the battlefield.
So I'm sure you love the fact of what you've been able to do now with the Figawi and being able to bring these guys and give them an experience that they hadn't done before. And I think, you know, even me being on the boat and being able to watch them, especially as you start going fast and it starts getting a little hectic and everything else, it's kind of an excitement, but also you can see it in their, even their spouses, you can see it in their face of just how thankful they are about being able to have this experience that they've never even, you know, been able to. And do you remember Jesse Barnett? He was Navy SEAL. He came with Bob a few years ago.
No, I wasn't here for that.
He was, I guess it was rainy and terrible weather the whole time or whatever. But like one thing he told me, he was like, there's only 7% of people in the Navy that actually have ever been out sailing. And then that's where it really started, to be able to do that as a therapeutic experience with other guys. He goes, it's great. And like with Bob wanting to do the Operation Set Sail and have guys get dual therapy about doing something that's relaxed and, you know, to calm.
I think it's absolutely fantastic. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to race, you know.
You haven't gone?
On one of the boats.
No.
I got, you know, being married into it, you know, married to the executive director, I'm on the race committee boat, so I got stuck, you know, doing all the scoring, you know, launching them off on the start and then scoring them as they come across the finish. So,
Do you live here or where do you live?
We live over in Cape Cod.
Okay.
Yep. So.
So you're just in Nantucket usually for Memorial Day weekend? Is that?
We come over here for Fagawi and then for our Holidays for Heroes event.
That's awesome.
Well, used to be in September, but I think we're looking at late August this year for that.
And when did Holidays for Heroes start? How long has it been around?
Holidays for Heroes started 8 years ago. It was founded by Tom McCann, who is a Nantucket resident.
Okay.
You know, he's done some tremendous things on the island and for veterans. It's just kind of, I don't know, probably about six or seven years ago, I think it kind of, you know, kind of morphed into a little bit of a little, I think Fagawi and Holidays for Heroes kind of found each other. And, you know, Bob Solomon was, you know, the very first one to start bringing veterans on the boat, you know. And
I think one thing now, that Bob's always told me, that he didn't serve because of physical situations, but, you know, his dad was Marine and was one of the biggest advocates for writing legislation in Congress for even getting the VA started. I think that because of that, he feels an even bigger obligation to, you know, especially since his dad passed, to kind of fill those shoes and carry it on. So I've always had a lot of respect for Bob for that. And at the Sailing Club in Indy, he has multiple veteran events throughout the year. And so, you know, and he's talked about this race and about bringing the wounded vets on it, the heroes, for 7 years to me now. So for me to be able to be a part of it, it's a lot bigger than what I would have thought of.
Yeah, it really is fantastic. And I, you know, honestly, I really hope for every aspect of it that it just continues to grow. For Holidays for Heroes, for the veterans, for Fagawi, for public.
Right.
You know, hope it really just continues to grow and really turns into something, you know, something really huge. I think it's good in a lot of different ways for everybody involved.
Right.
You know, so you don't necessarily have to wear a uniform to serve. Right. You know, and I think by people like Bob doing what he's doing, you know, or you know, you doing this kind of stuff with, you know, meet with the veterans and getting their stories out there and stuff like that. It's,
yeah, my dad was in the Navy and his brothers were also military, and my grandfather was and my uncle was, and I wasn't. So I kind of look at this mission for me to be a way that I can help a lot of people, help others, and I'm just kind of the conduit.
Yeah, it's
in the middle of it.
It, you know, when you look at it, when you take in the whole picture, it's a service for one purpose.
Right.
You know, it's to unite everybody together to make a better better place for us to live and to, you know, protect what God's given us.
Well, I'm glad you've stepped up in your own way and bringing people you know to be able to have this experience. I know you married into it, but I could tell 100% that this, it gives you a lot of satisfaction and thanks and everything to be able to help the guys and give new guys every year a new experience, and I think it's awesome.
It truly is a great experience and a big, you know, something very, very passionate about, helping others and stuff. And you know, I just, still so much to be done.
Right.
That hope more people like you and Bob and the others out there that you know, Chris Christens on you know, in Valkyrie, or you know, boats like Valkyrie and Relentless and stuff like that, that'll kind of step up, kind of take their part and just take it to another level.
Well, and I think that by getting more corporate sponsors, you get the more boats you can get, the more vets you can get. You know what I mean? And then the Bob's like, I think I might get 2 boats next year. You're going to have a couple, we're going to have a couple.
You know, he's like, it's a great part. We actually do get a lot of captains that call us and want to do it.
Yeah.
Where we really need the help is we need the housing on Nantucket.
That's it.
You know, if we had to pay for everything, you know, we wouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
You know, housing over here for the weekend is just
$10,000, $12,000.
You know, we can't do that to house as many veterans as we'd like to come in. You know, so we really are reliant upon just those supporters that want to volunteer their homes, you know, for a great cause, you know, to put the veterans up for the weekend, you know, so that they can experience this. Because without it, we wouldn't be able to function. You know, we'd be just a sailboat race, you know, and that's it. You know,
right.
Holidays for Heroes really couldn't be a part, wouldn't have that joint venture that we do now.
And it wouldn't be as great of an experience for the vets. I mean, yeah, they'd be on the boat, but, you know, to give them a whole experience of a place to stay. And
well, that's what I meant by that, is we wouldn't be able to have that pairing between the two organizations because we couldn't afford to bring in the vets.
Right.
You know, the cost to put on this race alone is astronomical, you know.
How many boats were here this year?
I don't know the exact number, but I want to say we launched in the ballpark of 180 boats at start for the race.
That's crazy.
We didn't have 180 finish,
right.
Unfortunately, because of the wind conditions. Just
you should have heard Bob about when it was. Senator goes, "We're gonna get wind. You just gotta keep having faith." Like it was, and then we like moved like 5 feet. How far are we going? 1.2. 1.2. We're at 2.2. 2.2. It was hilarious, but he's like
Bob is he is a purebred sailor. That is there is no doubt in that. He's great. I look forward to the opportunity to actually ride on that boat someday.
You should come to Indy sometime.
I would love it.
You should.
Absolutely.
Even though it's the same weekend as the Indianapolis 500, we got other races.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm
not big into the Indy 500, so I'd much rather be on a boat with you guys than watch that race.
Right on. Listen, I appreciate everything you do for these guys and everything you've done. Just in general with your service.
No, it's a pleasure.
Yeah.
I thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah.
I really do.
I'm just trying to... I got a mission now, and it's going to be a long one.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, honestly, it's probably going to be a never-ending one.
I know.
But it's a very admirable one.
Thank you.
So I really do appreciate it.
Okay. All right.